they said we got Gressel, we got Kazan. I know the other show's got people as well. But give me your, I'd asked John this earlier, give me your two takeaways just overall from the opening day of training camp out there, Jason.
So opening day was not really much on the field. It was more about just guys showing up, kind of had that first day of school vibe. Everybody's back in the building. The big story was Frank DeBoer, you know, meeting the new manager for the first time and hearing what he had to say wearing the Atlanta United crest. And I like it. I like his mentality. I like the difference in it because it's not a dramatic difference from a soccer perspective. You're not going to see the team play in this very different way on the field. But he brings a different mentality. And what's always one of the big challenges is when you win something, the next year, having that same hunger and that same drive. Now you have a new manager you have to impress, and you have to do things a little differently. That's going to keep this team on its toes in a year where you saw Toronto last year where the adversity hit them. They didn't win CONCACAF Champions League, mainly due to injuries, but they failed there. They didn't have that same drive in the second half that they did the year before where they won everything. Right. I think Atlanta will have that throughout 2019.
What do you think he'll do tactically different? Or does he walk in and look at the film and go, all right, what they did in the playoffs was awesome. What they did in the regular season was even better. Let's just keep it how it is.
I don't think it's going to be anything dramatic. He's a guy who likes to control matches through possession, which is something we saw Tata Martino do a lot more of in 2018. I don't think you'll see the big press that we did in 2017. I think you'll see them sit a little more. One wrinkle you might see more in 2019 is more of a midfield. I mean, to go basketball on it, more of like a trap. More of let guys come to you to a point, that line of confrontation, wherever you set it, if it's midfield, if it's 10 yards inside the other team's half, wherever it is, then you try to get a 2v1 defensively. I think you might see more of that. That's something that worked really well for him at Ajax.
So Frank DeBoer, does he need a translator?
Nope. Not in English, not in Spanish, not in Dutch. He could probably handle it in Italian, although he doesn't want to speak it because his time in Italy didn't go so well. German, he understands. He said he wasn't completely comfortable speaking it, but yeah, he's going to be just fine.
That's amazing to me. I mean, I have a hard enough time understanding the English language. Jason, we got to ask you, and this is funny. Mark, do you have the Snoop Dogg clip? I want to play this for you, and I want to see if you can translate what Snoop Dogg said in this. Wait, in 1 second, Mark's telling me.
Because I needed the Urban Dictionary for a lot of
now,
that.
Now, mind you, he's a color analyst, like a guest color analyst on a hockey game. I guess the LA Kings and somebody.
An LA Kings game.
And, of course, now, it's Kings versus the Penguins. Here's Snoop Dogg.
Hands up. Oh, watch out. Oh, he's stalling on him. He's fired on cuz. Hold on now. Oh, get it cracking then. Let's go. Snoop Dogg in the house. Let me see some. Drop the sticks, man. Let's get cracking, man. To the middle of the rink. Let's go. Number three wanted. I like that. Who is number three for us?
Dion Phaneuf.
Dion, go get cracking, Dion. Yeah, go get him, Dion. Get him, Dion. Move, Dion. Get out the way.
He went into full ludicrous. So at the beginning, he says he stole on him. He fired on cuz. What do you think he meant?
See, I heard you guys earlier, so I've got it. I didn't know either.
Thanks for
though.
Listening.
No, I was with you. I was with you. I didn't know. I was with you.
He fired on cuz. Hold on now.
Did you think that was an actual shot on goal like I did?
Yeah.
I thought it was a wrister from the slot, Jason.
Yeah, I was not there. I had to look that one up. So,
is there going to be a time this year, and I know Waka Flocka is a huge fan of Atlanta United, that you and Mike might get him as part of the play-by-play, just have him come up for a couple of minutes?
I'd love to see it. We've had Waka on our pre-match show for Facebook Live, and where guests usually like drop in, plug what they're plugging. We talk soccer for a minute, and then they dip. Waka hung out the whole time. Waka's like breaking down highlights from the first leg against NYC behind me. I'm like, all right, what'd you think, Waka? And he was awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. Now, the big news today, Joseph Martinez, 5-year contract extension. Rick and I were discussing this. Is this mean he's locked into Atlanta? Or if just say FC Barcelona comes and says, we want to buy the contract of Joseph Martinez, can they still do that?
Yeah, it's like any sport. I mean, you sign a guy to a long-term deal, and it's a commitment. It's making a statement about how you feel about this player and their importance. But there's always possibility for things to happen. We see it all the time in the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball. You sign that long-term deal, you get later in the deal, and somebody might come in with a trade offer that you have to take. Now, with soccer, it's a little different because you do have the international transfer market. I think what this does is it sets a far higher bar for who that club is that might want to come in, because they would be buying a pretty big contract they'd have to deal with. I think they would know now that Atlanta United is fully committed to Joseph Martinez for a long period of time, and he's fully committed to Atlanta. And I love that his first statement in the press release was about the fans. And that says a lot about his relationship with this city and how much that means to him.
Jason Longshore, he's the analyst for Atlanta United. I saw you on the rundown when Preacher Man and we were all going through it today at about 9 o'clock. And I'm like, Longshore won. We're back. Huh? We're back. It was like the shortest offseason in the history of sports.
3 weeks.
But it's awesome. So we love having you and interviewing you, man, and just hanging out with you. But on Joseph. We heard at the end of last season, towards the end, you know, warm, fuzzy stuff about his love of Atlanta and I want to be here and all that. But, Jason, how many times in football or baseball or whatever sport do you hear that warm, fuzzy stuff and then they leave? And to me, it's I feel like the warm, fuzzy stuff is almost player speak at this point or it's coach speak. And then, like, they don't care. That's just stuff to placate the media, placate the fans, and they're going to do what the hell they want to do. So to hear Joseph say all that stuff and then back it up by signing a 5-year extension, to me, I'm a little surprised, but very excited.
I was a little surprised about the length of it. I think that's a big deal that we don't see very often in Major League Soccer, and especially a player of Joseph's age to make that type of commitment is a big deal, because a lot of times, you know, you do want to let that contract run down. And then in the transfer market, which it's different in soccer, but as you're going into that last year of your contract, that's when, if you're trying to force a move, you have complete leverage because the team runs the risk of losing you for nothing when your contract runs out. He's not going to have that because he's committed here for 5 years. I think Joseph's in a unique situation. He's been to Italy. He did that. He was in Switzerland before that. He did not really enjoy his time in Europe. And I think besides his job with Atlanta United right now, his big focus is to get Venezuela to a World Cup for the first time ever. That would cement him as potentially the greatest player ever from his country. That's a mission that I don't think we can relate to. And I think it's so big, he's going to have a much better time doing that here in Atlanta than going to Europe, flying back across the country, across the ocean for World Cup qualifiers. He's going to be far more connected to Venezuela and that national team here.
The news not all golden coming out of Atlanta today. Franco Escobar, 6 to 8 weeks, it looks like he's going to miss, with a broken clavicle. Any idea how this happened at practice?
No clue. It's early days. I mean, this is the type of thing that can happen in so many different ways. I mean, when I was coaching with soccer in the streets, one of my players broke his clavicle, you know, just when he fell down. And just the way he fell, he landed on it, broke it. You never know. It's a contact sport. And it's something that I think gets lost in the shuffle at times. You know, it is a contact sport no matter how hard you're going in training. These things can happen. And for Franco, it's horrible timing because I thought he was playing the best soccer of his career in the postseason. I thought he would be a key figure in this first month of the season, especially in CONCACAF Champions League. And now you're going to miss him.
This is what John and I, Dave Archer, always talk about at Falcons training camp. What's your number one priority for training camp?
Mm-hmm.
Healthy.
Yep.
No injuries. Put guys in bubble wrap. I don't want to see Julio playing in games. All this kind of stuff. And then, boom, day one. This would be, you know, essentially maybe losing an offensive lineman or maybe even north of that. But forget that analogy. It's a buzzkill.
Mm-hmm.
And Escobar really was gaining momentum towards the end of last season and was only going to spill over to this season. Help me out because a lot of parties, a lot of games, a lot of score bugs that I'm watching. What did he have a goal in the championship game?
He had the 2-0 goal, didn't he? The second goal.
And was it not a rocket from the outside right side of the box?
It was the cutback from Gressel across the box to the back corner, and Escobar just with a blast.
Yeah. So I mean, a huge goal. If memory serves, Jason, and a lot of you are like, "Wow, Kamla, you're becoming senile live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game." I'm only 49. But I do recall a bunch of awesome tackles by Franco Escobar to take the ball away or knock it out of bounds or thwart a scoring opportunity for the opponent.
If you had an MVP of the postseason, for me, it would have been Franco Escobar. I thought he was that good throughout the whole postseason.
That's huge. Let's give away $1,000 and we'll continue the conversation with Jason Longs. All right, Jason, learn us more about Miguel Almiron. What's the number that you've heard that Atlanta United is looking for the return?
So this is playing out in the press, and we've got a timeline to follow here. I'll try to break it down as best as I can across like the whole spectrum of it, because Pity Martinez is the player that is reportedly coming into Atlanta. South American Player of the Year, voted that by El País, which is a prestigious newspaper in Uruguay. Big time to have the South American Player of the Year coming into Major League Soccer. That's huge. His club in Argentina has announced it and announced that he's coming to Atlanta. The Argentine Super League has announced it, said he's coming to Atlanta. Hasn't been announced here yet. I think one of the reasons why is you have a situation where you can only have three designated players on your roster. Now, roster compliance is not until a couple of days before the season opener. So you have time. You could go ahead and announce it. LA Galaxy right now have four designated players. They have to move one. But you haven't announced PT yet. We're all assuming he's coming in. Miguel Almiron, we've known that the market is out there for him. Newcastle United has been the club that has been mentioned the most with him. We know that that was the agreement, was a couple of years, then we're going to look at making a deal, but the deal has to work for the club. Right now, there isn't an offer that works for the club yet. Reportedly, and this is all out in the media, it's $30 million is the number that you're wanting for Miguel Almiron. You paid anywhere between 8.5 to 10 back in late 2016 to bring him in. Pretty good return on your investment.
Absolutely.
Also a trophy along with that investment, so things are good. But this is a game changer for Major League Soccer and for Atlanta United, and that's why I don't think the club should accept anything less than that valuation. If that's where they feel like he's at, they shouldn't come off of that unless the player says he really wants to go. You're not getting that right now. Miguel's training. Miguel's happy. His agent hasn't said any of these things. He's been talking in Paraguay. Hasn't said, you know, we need a deal now. There's none of that pressure right now. So if the deal's not right, I wouldn't be surprised to see him here to start the season. Now, could that deal come up in the summer window? It could. And that would be definitely a little different because you're talking a mid-season move.
Are you surprised that somebody hasn't come with that $30 million?
This window's tricky because it's mid-season in Europe. You know, you're not dealing with teams as they're preparing for a year where they're a little more willing to spend. It's like the NFL trade window. You don't see as many moves there. You see the moves going into the season. So it's the same situation, and you're dealing with clubs who are either looking for a player to put them over the top to win a title or get into a Champions League, or your Newcastle situation where you're looking not to get relegated down to the lower division. And Newcastle's in this weird spot where they've been relegated twice in the last decade. They're supposedly anywhere between 5 to 10 million pounds apart from Atlanta United's number. All right? You're potentially going to lose, because last time they were relegated a couple of years ago, they came right back up, but they lost $90 million that year because of being in the lower division. You're talking different TV rights fees. You're talking all kinds of different things because you're in a lower division. So you're running that risk. Oh, by the way, you're also trying to sell the club at Newcastle right now. That valuation is going to take a hit. So I'm a little surprised we haven't seen more movement, but this window's tricky because teams have different motivations.
So is it possible, real quick, because we're up against it, that like next July I'm heading to the Gulch for United game, I'm ready to get saucy and faced and watch a winning match, and boom, I find out a press release that Miggy is going to this other team?
It's possible, but it's also possible that you start this season going into CONCACAF Champions League with Miguel Almiron in your team. And that's going to give you a far better chance when you go in to play against teams that you've never seen before. The Costa Rican champions first. If you get past them, you're talking about the team that probably has the most valuable roster in North America, in Monterrey. And you're going to need as many strong pieces as possible. You might have Miguel Almiron in that. We didn't really consider that before.
Yeah, that's awesome. When you guys go to Costa Rica, I'll carry your bags. You can put me in the luggage.
I think everybody here at the station has said this.
To Costa Rica. I'm supposed to go there this summer, except Costa Rica is really expensive to go down there because there's not a lot of beach resorts down there.
Right.
And I'm lazy and I want to lay on the beach and have them with free drinks and everything.
Mai Tais?
Yeah, maybe. Jason, great stuff.
Thanks,
always.
Jason. Thanks, guys.
You learned us once again.